All right, everybody, welcome back to Guest Friday. Good to be back with the folks. We got a good episode for you this week on Guest Friday. Evan Greasing's back. We're talking Red Sox, and Evan, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, glad to be here. It gives me hope that it's already talking about baseball season again. I feel like it kind of helps us get through these cold January days. It's funny, at work recently, we were talking about what our favorite season was, and a couple people were like, "We hate spring." And like, spring has so much optimism in the air. You know, you got a new baseball season, new flowers are blooming, all that good stuff. There's a lot of exciting things to look forward to, and you know. Even if this isn't the Red Sox year, I think that, it's been an interesting offseason to say the least, and a lot of stuff to dive into here. So thanks for having me back, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's always great to talk Red Sox with you because I feel like there have been some moves that have happened that I'm excited to kind of get your thoughts on it. You know, obviously, we probably talked about it a couple times off air a few times, but yeah, excited to get into it and kind of get into, you know, off season stuff. You know, maybe where things stand as we're, you know, a couple weeks away from spring training, which is kind of insane to say out loud and, you know, probably shorter away from like truck day too. So it's like it's really right around the corner. So I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts about where things are right now at the current moment with the Red Sox and Alex Bregman, that they've seemed to be kind of linked in the last couple of weeks. And kind of curious to get your take on where things are at and if you think he ends up with the Red Sox and just kind of your overall thoughts about him as a player.
Yeah, Bregman's a guy that, if I wake up tomorrow and I see that they sign Alex Bregman to a 5-year deal, I'll be as thrilled as the next person. I'll be like, this is awesome. This catapults us into the real winners in the AL, and this literally puts us right in contention with the Yankees, with the Guardians, with, Astros, Mariners, whoever. Rangers, Orioles, those teams. And I get why fans want them to get a guy like Bregman. It's been an offseason, another offseason with, while they've had some moves, it's been a lot of, we're interested in this person. Oh, well, they went to the Dodgers. Or it's Juan Soto and they go to the Mets. Now, did I think the Red Sox were going to get Juan Soto? Actually, yes, because I'm delusional. But was hopeful. But like a guy like Teoscar Hernandez, guys like that, like I really thought that they had a chance on that would have been great moves for them. And they didn't make those moves. Now a guy like Bregman might be an overpay. And you do sometimes have to overpay to get top talent. And Bregman certainly isn't in the total decline of his career yet. However, I think that the issue with getting a guy like Bregman is you're going to be devoting so much money to him. We have such a prospect heavy infield coming up with guys like Christian Campbell, guys like Marcelo Meyer, that do we need to spend a 5 or 6 year contract on someone who we will have a solid big league replacement for in a year? If this isn't our year to compete with the Yankees and Dodgers, I'm not saying it's not, but if this isn't that year, why are we spending that money if potentially we could be cultivating a prospect during that time? So if they sign Bregman, I'll be thrilled. But I also think that given the state of the farm system being just recently ranked number two in baseball, I think there's guys that can come up and make a significant impact, and even signing a guy like Bregman might even block some of their development. So, we'll see what Breslow does. I would say I would expect that they probably don't sign Bregman, but I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think as you said, you know, I think be a good fit. I think has a lot of qualities that they're kind of looking for in terms of, you know, good fielder, good defensively, good, you know, as a leadership guy in the locker room. But more importantly, and I think for me, most importantly, is a right-handed bat, which you know, I think losing Tyler O'Neill kind of hurt them with, you know, just how good he was at times, you know. 31 home runs last year. Like, I think a lot of people kind of forget that he kind of had a really good year for them. And I think, you know, it'd be great to see them get a right-handed bat. But as you said, like, with the guys coming up that might be, you know, impact players, it's like, would it make sense to, you know, give him a 5, 6 year deal and pay him, you know, that much money when it's like maybe it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I do, though, feel like there's an element with some part of the fan base where it's like they just want to see the Red Sox make a like splashy move. And I feel like that kind of move, this kind of move would kind of satisfy that. And whether it's the right move or not, that probably remains to be seen. But I kind of am conflicted on this too.
Yeah, it's interesting because it feels like a lot. It feels like Trevor Story. We signed him super late in the offseason. What was it, 2022 offseason, I think, or 2023. We signed him super late in the offseason. Everyone wanted a splash. They made the splash. And then everyone was like, wow, we overpaid. And it's like, yeah, that's what you're going to do when you make a splash. And then he hasn't been great. Now, do I think that Bregman would be a better sign than Trevor Story? Yes. Was I also thrilled when we signed Trevor Story? Yes. So I think that the Boston fan base, rightfully so, expects winners every year. They expect to be doing well. They expect to be performing well. I think that what I wish the Boston fan base would see, and this only means so much to them if this doesn't come out with wins, is the Red Sox had the second highest percent change in probable WAR based on their offseason acquisitions. So up behind the Mets. So like the change that they're expected to get in wins above replacement next year versus the change that they're actually getting, the expected wins above replacement was the highest percentage change behind the Mets with Juan Soto of any team this offseason. So it's like statistically, we are getting a better team and we are growing that better team at faster rates than other teams. Now, maybe we weren't at the same starting point. Maybe we have more holes to fill, but the moves that are being made are strong moves. It's not like we're giving up our key pieces. I mean, yeah, we've lost O'Neill, but guys like Pivetta are still out there for pitching. Like there are, there's not, this will be a better team. There will be fun baseball this year. I do really do think. And I think that the offseason, it doesn't fit the narrative necessarily with the Red Sox sometimes. I think the offseason has not been the same old. I think we actually finally gave up a prospect that we actually cared about. Anyway, I'm sure we'll get into that more, but
Yeah, I think just to finish the thought on Bregman, I feel like there were those reports that like they weren't comfortable going more than 4 years or something like that. And I kind of feel like I'd agree with that because it's like he's 31 years old. Like I'm not trying to pay him like more than that, but it's like maybe that kind of thing takes him out of the running, which I guess at the end of the day, like if we feel like the team is improved. I mean, in my opinion, I feel like the team's improved significantly this offseason. Adding somebody like that isn't really necessary. Would people like to see it? Yeah, I think so. But, I don't know if it really would make that big of a difference.
yeah, like does this team, can this team compete for a wild card right now? Right now, I would say yes.
Yeah, I think
Will
so.
this team be a sure thing to win the AL East if we get Bregman? No, I don't think so. So I think like we're kind of like we have to decide if this year's the year they're going to go all in, and if it is, sign Bregman, sign like a couple more relievers, trade for Dylan Cease, do something like that. Like go all in then. But if you're not going to go all in, let the guys develop. Let Christian Campbell continue what brought him from like not even a top 100 ranked prospect to the seventh prospect in baseball. I can almost guarantee that when we talked Red Sox last year, this is not obviously a diss to our podcast. We didn't talk about Christian Campbell. He had such a breakout year last year. He was not on the scene. And so it's like there are guys like this that could come up and they could flounder or they could really thrive. And we have to figure out the entities we do have.
Yeah, I think it's important to pick a path to be like, okay, we're going to go all in and spend, or I kind of see this as a development year for some of the guys because it's like you have to find out at some point. You have to find out what these guys are. And I think like I'm fine with the idea of seeing what you can get from these guys. I think getting into the moves that they have made in terms of upgrading the pitching staff, I think that very clearly that was the priority going into the off season. And I think they've been able to make some moves that I think have really, I think in my opinion, elevated the rotation to being like, okay, this is a rotation you can really get behind with trading for Garrett Crochet and then signing Walker Buehler. Curious about your thoughts about the Crochet trade and kind of what you're expecting from him this season.
Yeah, I love it. He was one of the most attractive arms that they possibly could have gotten in this offseason. I think seeing guys like Fried go to the Yankees, I was really hoping for Max Fried, and it seems like seeing guys like that going to the Yankees, it gets discouraging. So I think that the fact that they made the deal for Crochet was huge. I think that he's our ace. I would project that they get an extension done before opening day with him. That's my gut feeling. I think that'll be huge. I think that'll really help the fan base too. Maybe something, I forget which pitcher did it recently, but like some one of those like 8 years, 120, like where you know later on that's gonna look really good because he's otherwise he'd be getting. I mean, Max Scherzer signed today for 1 year, 16 million. Max Scherzer's like 38 years old. So like getting a young guy like Crochet, I mean, he's injury prone, that's the thing, but like I think being able to lock him up to a long term, you know you have your ace then. You know you have that position filled. In terms of the rest of the rotation, I mean, with the signing of Walker Buehler, love that again. I'd say medium risk, high reward. Like that's a guy who can pitch, who has Cy Young stuff. He's on a 1 year deal. He has an option for a second year. He's getting paid 20 million. You know, he doesn't we don't have him tied down for that long contract. So if it's not a good year, we can, you know, move forward. In terms of the return for Crochet, what we did have to give up, I mean, I was high on Kyle Teal, but I think that, you know, catcher's a position where you're only getting so much marginal value out of that position anyway. So you have a guy like Connor Wong or a guy like Kyle Teal. Okay, maybe you get, you know, 50 more hits a season and 10 more home runs a season, like versus having an ace. And you never know how prospect development goes. So I know they gave away like one of their most recent first round picks and that's what you gotta do to get good players. You gotta trade, gotta wheel and deal, and I was glad to see they actually finally did that and parted with the before the big three, the Roman Anthony Meyer and Teal. I'm glad they kind of parted with one of them to kind of move things forward on the pitching front. So love the move for Crochet and Buehler. Give a flyer on him, see how he does. He's got nasty stuff when he's on, so might as well go for it.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember like seeing when they signed Buehler, and I was like, wait a second. Like, I remember seeing this guy pitch in the World Series a number of years ago and, you know, being really strong in the postseason. Obviously, like, they're banking on that to, you know, get a guy like that that can pitch. But I think I like that they're trying to be a little bit aggressive. And I think, you know, nothing tells you more that they're being aggressive than, you know, trading somebody like Teal and then trading, Braden Montgomery, who was the other first pick that I think I'm thinking of. I think it just tells me that, okay, like they're taking some swings. And I think that that's good to see that they're taking swings at a spot where they needed to. You know, it's like the rotation was one of their weak points last year. And I think they're like, okay, we want to try to, you know, fortify that. And I think like health wise, those two guys stay healthy. It's a really good rotation, I think. I'm also curious about, you know, with Giolito coming back, you know, how does he factor into that rotation? Do they throw six guys in a rotation? I'm kind of curious about how that's going to work.
Yeah, I feel like they'll probably go 6-man rotation. I think you have arms that have all had injury history. Well, no, not all. Most have had injury history. And I think if you're trying to keep them healthy, trying to stretch things out does make more sense. I mean, you know, the only two who don't have significant injury history is Bayo and Crawford, at least in the major league level. So I think that, you know, by going to a 6-man rotation, having Giolito slot in at your four or five, that's again, it's pretty solid. You know, you're gonna get a guy with a probably like a 4 ERA, 4.15, 4.20, you know, 4.50 at worst. But he's gonna give you 5, 6 innings every time. He's gonna get you to guys like Slayton, get you to guys like Hendricks or Chapman or whoever it is in the back of the pen at that time. I mean, when you talk about the upgrading pitching staff, I just totally agree. I mean, I went to opening day at Fenway last year and starting game one was Brian Bayo, and he's great, you know, a lot of upside, but now he'll be probably our number four starter. And, you know, to have that talent that far down the rotation means that we've definitely picked up some arms that can take us somewhere. So I think, but to get back to your point on Giolito, I think that, if he can stay healthy, his presence and his, bringing that veteran sense to the rotation, along with a bunch of, other than Buehler, like a bunch of newer pitchers, be a great mentor to the guys, as he was last year. So.
It's interesting that you bring up Brian Baio, because I feel like last year he almost was being relied upon to like be that ace, where it's like, don't think he's there yet, but it's like felt like there was so much pressure on him to perform. You know, they give him that big contract. Was it right before the season or maybe during spring training? And it's like people are looking at him to kind of be that anchor, and it's like, I don't think he's there yet, but I think for them to be able to get some other guys where it's like, okay, he's not relied upon to be that anchor, I think it's going to bring out a lot more from him this season, that we're going to see a lot more consistency where he doesn't have to feel like he has to be the guy, which I feel like they kind of put too much pressure on him last year.
Yeah, 100%. He'll be able to actually develop and fly a little more under the radar. It he won't be relied on in the same way. I mean, I also think that, expectations are just sky high for a guy like that. When Pedro Martinez is talking about him, he's like, "Oh, I'm working on this pitch and this pitch." It's like you expect him to come out there and look like the next Pedro. And when he doesn't, it's like, "Oh, wow, this guy's not very good." But it's like, then when you look and you see his second half splits and he's like actually had like a 3.50 ERA in the second half, it's like, oh, this guy's actually pretty decent. He's just not like Pedro yet. And it's like, that's okay. He's a number 2, 3, 4 starter, 2 at best. Like, he's not an ace right now, and that's fine.
I'm curious about what you think about Patrick Sandoval, that they signed him as well, that he's not going to be available till what, like, or like halfway through this season. Does that sound about right?
It's funny, when I was thinking through this tonight, I thinking through this everything for tonight's show, today's show, I totally forgot about the Sandoval move, but let's talk about that. Yeah. I mean, that's a guy who I watched him in the All-Star game a year or two ago. I think so. Pretty sure. You check me on that. But like he, or maybe I was just picking up my fantasy team, right? So, something, but like he had some very good years in LA. And, another guy who does have that experience, not super old, but does have the veteran experience. That's a steal right there. I really like the Sandoval move. I haven't looked too much into his splits as of late, but I think that's another guy where, yeah, he'll come back in June. But if he's inevitably, there'll be one injury to those top six guys. So if he can slot in there in June and make an impact, kind of like Paxton may in his first year, coming back midseason, you never know. I think. I was actually really pumped to see when they signed him, and thank you for reminding me, because I'd forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, they had signed him to a 2-year deal in late December. It was a week or so after they made the Rochet trade. And yeah, so with the Angels, with the Astros as well. Yeah, made his debut in 2019. Also, you won a bronze medal at the World Baseball Classic.
Well, that's cool.
Mexico. It's kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think it'll be good to kind of just give them another arm and see kind of what he can give them.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think anything you can do to bolster the rotation at this point is good. You're not going to have games being started by, I don't know, like Brennan Bernardino going out there for two, and then like Justin Wilson out there for one, or I don't know who the guys they had last year. Those guys, some of the guys will be in the pen, but we can actually get back to having our reliable starting five or six next year, which will be good, I think, for the team.
Obviously, they made a couple of moves in the bullpen, signing Chapman, and then obviously, Hendricks, I guess. I don't know if that counts as a move, but he's going to be available at pitch, and kind of curious to see what he has.
Yeah, I think that the it's a It's a high risk, high reward 7, 8, 9, I feel like, because best case scenario, you get the dominant Justin Slayton that you had last year at points. But he's doesn't have a ton of tenure, doesn't have a ton of experience. That makes me think that it's 100% repeatable, but we can hope. And then you have Chapman and Hendricks. If you get all-star Chapman and Hendricks, you have the one of the best bullpens in the game, hands down. You're getting Chapman and Hendricks when they're probably at least 35-ish or above. But again, that's going to be a lot better than, I think collectively better than a Kenley Jansen bullpen. I mean, Chris Martin was nails for us, and that's a tough loss. I mean, he was definitely an aging player, but he was still pitching really, really well. So I think that the Jansen Chapman, I mean the Chapman Hendricks sort of back end will be pretty good.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking as well that it probably is going to be high risk, high reward. But I think if those two guys are as good as like you could expect, I guess like probably be better than what we saw last year with just the issues late in the games with the blown saves and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know, like Chapman, I don't know, just makes me nervous whenever I watch him pitch that it's just like it's just gonna go wrong. So I don't know if
Yeah,
I'll happen so much this year.
little wild. I could see him being really good, or I could see him not being good and then falling out of favor with the Fenway fans pretty fast.
That's what I'm concerned about because
One of the other.
famously this fan base does not have a lot of patience. So I don't know if it's gonna go like if it goes poorly, it's really gonna go poorly. So we've obviously talked a little bit about some of the youngsters and some of the guys that I think maybe could make their debut as soon as this season. I'm kind of curious what you expect from all the guys, Campbell, Meyer, if we see Roman Anthony at some point. And yeah, curious what you expect from those guys.
Here's my hot take, or maybe it's not that hot, but I'll drop it anyway, and you listeners can judge how hot it is. I think Christian Campbell's going to break camp with the Red Sox. I think he'll be your starting second baseman on March 27th against the Orioles.
Actually,
What's that?
I was going to ask you that. Whether he makes an opening day roster.
I would love it. I would love it. I think that, he's a good defender, but he's known for his bat. Had a great season down in Portland and Worcester last year. I think he could break camp with the team. I think if he has a strong spring training, showcases that bat, that's a great move. And I mean, it's good too, because you think about, okay, they could go out and get a utility player. I mean, obviously he's not going to be Alex Bregman in year one, but they could go out and get a guy like a Tommy Edman, or like someone like that. All I can think of is Tommy Andrew, Tommy LaStella, like guys like who could play a few different positions, or Jonathan Araúz. Like, go get a guy like that to be your backup second baseman, or to be your spot second baseman. But like, if you have three options to play second and short, being Campbell, Rafaela, and
Trevor Story.
Story, then you're good. I think Campbell's gonna have a good spring. I think he's gonna get called up. Roman Anthony, I think he's going to kind of be, I think he's gonna have the Jackie Bradley spring, where he's gonna rake the cover off the ball. Remember that rookie year when Jackie Bradley raked the cover off the ball in spring training? I think Roman Anthony's gonna dominate spring training. All the fans are gonna want to call him up, and I think the Red Sox are gonna hold him in Worcester till May so they can get the additional year on his rookie contract. And I think by May, you're going to see probably Rafaela, maybe Yoshida take a bench spot and have Anthony up in the majors. I think Meyer, given his injury history, will take a little bit longer. I could see him being down in Worcester for most of the year. But I think if a guy like Story goes down again, or you have Campbell or Rafaela playing in the infield and one of those guys gets hurt or isn't performing up to expectations, and Meyer's doing well down in Worcester, I could see them bringing him up as well. I'll give you one more prospect that I'm curious your thoughts too, but Richard Fitz too, guy who played pitched really, really well down in Worcester last year. I think he was on like the International League All-Star team. he won like player of the month 1 year and came up in September and pitched pretty well for the Red Sox. He only had a couple outings, but pitched well. So I can see there's another guy who, if one of the six starters goes down before Sandoval comes back, or if we need some bullpen support, it's forgot about Whitlock in the bullpen too. We're good. Anyways, if we need some bullpen support, Fitz another guy I think right on the cusp that will probably make an impact this year. So I've been talking a lot. What are your thoughts?
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, I think Campbell definitely has a really good shot to make the roster. And I do think, like, whatever happens with Bregman, obviously we'll see. But I do think that, they probably would like him to kind of make that jump in spring training. Meyer, obviously, as you said, with the injury history, not really, I don't want to say not as, or not as excited, but I think, like, obviously it might take a little bit more time for him. Anthony, I'm excited to see what he can do in spring training. And I think, as you said, he might make things really difficult if he has a good spring and it's like, okay, this guy's clearly ready to play. So it'll be kind of interesting to see. But I think, I don't know if I have any like big expectations for any of the three, major guys, but I'm just excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, I wonder if there's some world where you sign a guy like Bregman and then you trade a Christian Campbell or a Marcelo Meyer and you get another piece. I that's a lot to happen in the last 2 weeks of spring training before spring training. But I could see it. I could see it. I could see it where they spend the money, they decide they're going all in, they spend the money on Bregman, they trade another prospect. Be interesting. It'd be interesting, but it's not totally out of the picture.
That would probably be if they feel that they're ready to compete right now.
Yeah, right.
Crazy stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't think anything's out of the question at this point. I'm curious, before we move on quickly to talking about the current guys that are on the team, what do you think about Vaughn Grissom at this point?
Yeah, I think probably we'll start out in Worcester. I mean, see how the camp goes for him. I think it's another guy that, when I was thinking about second base shortstop, I guess I was kind of leaving him out because we didn't see him around a lot last year. But I think it's another guy that definitely can make an impact. I think he was really sick last year and was injured and all stuff and kind of was looking not as, game ready. And it was a tough season for him, I feel like, too. But he started hitting better in Worcester in September. So that's another guy who's still young and was good enough in the minors for so long that is enough to be dangerous. So I think that he's another guy where we could easily be talking about an infield of Devers, Campbell, Grissom, and Casas by June. I could see that. I could see that. But I think your listeners know this by now, but I'm the optimist. I'm like, we'll see the best in these guys too. Most people will probably like this. Grissom, like, get him off the team. But I don't know. That's not me. Let the guys develop, see how they do. But we trade Chris Sale for him, so we gotta give him some more time.
Curious about which returning player you think is going to have the biggest impact. I think that they're a team that definitely they're counting on Dorian Casas to bring that power back and get more home runs, but kind of curious about if you think it's one of those guys or it's somebody else that ends up having like a big impact.
I'm gonna go Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck's a guy who's he's a dog. Like he's out there and he's threw a couple complete games last year. He has innings. He's got good mix on his pitches. He's a competitor, and I think that's what the Red Sox need more of. And with a guy like Houck, I think that he I've heard some things about his work in this offseason. I think that he'll take that to the next level, and I could see in 2026, yeah, a conversation of if it will be him or Crochet for the opening day starter. So this podcast isn't just about the next year's Red Sox. We're going a year out. I think Houck's gonna have a breakout year, returning guy, breakout year. He was an all-star. Was it last year or the year before? Recently, he was an all-star, and I think he's gonna have another all-star year. And I think that him and Crochet as the 1-2 punch will be really strong for this team. That's my take. How about you? Who's your breakout?
Well, I kind of mentioned him. I think I expect big things from Casas this year. I think
Time.
with the reason how last year just felt like just kind of got out of hand. It was kind of just a lost season. I think he's going to come back, build off of the great rookie, the rookie season that he had 2 years ago. Obviously the defense is going to be what it's going to be, but I think just the power bat that I think we all expect him to be, I think going to be huge. And I think with Story, like obviously we've been wishing that they had been able to get a big right-handed bat and maybe, Story's healthy again, which a big if at this point, but I think he's able to stay healthy. Maybe he's that right-handed bat that can, hit 20 to 25 home runs, drive in close to, 80, 90 runs. They think they really could use that.
Above that. Totally agree.
Right. Well, I think probably hit all the topics. Evan, it's always great to have you on the pod and bringing that optimism and getting the folks excited for Red Sox baseball.
Yeah. Truck day is soon. 3 weeks, I think, from tomorrow is your first game versus Northeastern, Red Sox Northeastern. So probably gonna watch some double A players play that game. It's always fun. Now we got a fun year to look forward to. Thanks for having me on the pod, and hope to be back soon to talk some more baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hopefully we'll get on, during the season and see how they do in that first couple weeks. But yeah, as
Sounds
always,
great.
great to have you. And yeah, folks, we'll be talking to you.